So it is so great to have Brother Moses here. This is really ready to go here now, brother. Oh, as I said, you came into town on Tuesday, and you've been kind of traveling around southwestern Wisconsin. He's our outgoing missionary to Russia. Now, he has already raised all of his partners in missions. They're ready to head back within another month or so, so we're thankful. They're thankful. We're thankful for that. But they do have a number of projects that they're looking to raise funds for, and we want to help them out with some of those projects. So, Brother Moses, you come here and preach to us this morning. Give us your burden. We'll be back.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
I want to build upon what Brother Grant said, and I had to travel thousands of miles to get this revelation, but I was told in St. Petersburg, Russia, that they have studied it out, and one out of three people are what they consider beautiful. So look to the right of you, look to the left of you, and you know it isn't either one of them, so it's got to be you, right? God bless you. You can be seated. I had to travel to St. Petersburg, Russia to get that, but you got it for free today. We have been involved in Moscow for going on our 16th year. Our son is 16. That's how I keep it straight. He was 7 months old when we left. We were pastoring in the state of Illinois. We'd started a home missions work in 1995. And in 2000, God began to deal with me as a pastor about missions, and I thought I could appease that by just having more missionaries come to our church. And the first missionary that came after God spoke to me about missions was Brother William Turner, our missionary to Russia. And so God was sealing the deal for us, and we knew it was God's will for us to go to Moscow and work there in the church in Moscow. And so we sold our house, we resigned our church, and then my brother, who lives in Janesville, Wisconsin, he was connected with the church in Beloit. He knew the people in that church, Brother Caskey's church. And so Linda, his wife, was at the grocery store. She met the lady from Brother Caskey's church, and her daughter was expecting a baby, and she was not married. She was 19, and she was looking for a family to adopt that child, and they couldn't find a family. And that's miracle number one. And so my sister-in-law said, well, I think I know a family. And so that put us on hold going to Russia. So we were unemployed and homeless and adopting a child on our way to Russia. And so our son is, he likes to say, I'm from Wisconsin, I'm a cheesehead. So he was born in Beloit, Wisconsin. And so when he was born and 7 months later, we took him to Moscow, Russia. So Wisconsin is a part of the work in Moscow, amen, because of that connection there. And God has blessed us with our son, Anthony. He'll be here tonight, Lord willing. If his mother doesn't share the sickness with him, then hopefully they'll both be here tonight and you'll get to meet them. But we have been helping and working there as aimers for the first 2 years, and then we've been went back and pointed to the work there in Moscow and been part of that ever since. Now, we have, because of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, the last year and a half of being on location, we felt that it was needful for us, and the Lord was dealing with me, and so we moved out of the city of Moscow and out of the country of Russia into the country of Estonia. And we travel into Moscow on a monthly basis. There were people that were being forced out of Moscow because of the conflict, because the West got involved in sanctions and all of that. Just to give you an idea of that, before that all took place, the ruble was 26 rubles to a dollar. And then when the conflicts and the oil and all that took place, the ruble went as high or as bad as 80 rubles to a dollar. So you're still making the same amount of money, but it's buying about a third or less than what it was. And so that caused bad feelings. One of the teachers at the Christian school that Anthony was attending, she was asked to move out of her apartment because she was from America. My wife was attending a international Bible study just for something for her to get out and do. And the ladies, that Bible study, and some of those husbands of those women that were attending, that they were BP Oil, Shell Oil, big companies like that. So they were being told they had to leave in the next 72 hours. Then they'd show up at the Bible study, and then they'd say, well, it's 48 hours. And they show up at the Bible study and say, well, be ready to leave at any time. If you Google your and do Moscow City, because that's a city inside of Moscow, that's the business area, a lot of new, what do you call them? skyscrapers. A lot of new skyscrapers in that area, beautiful part of town, but that is a ghost town basically now because a lot of those businesses have left out. So we moved into Estonia. We're working with Brother Nate Turner there, helping with the church there, but also still very much involved in Moscow. It's what we can do for right now. Right now, I don't know any other way other than getting a full-time job and getting back in that way, and I'm not opposed to that, but the headquarters would like for us to be able to be full-time missionaries. So that's just some of the things that we're facing, and with winter here and what you're enjoying with your changing here. Well, in Estonia, when we moved now, in Toledo, Illinois is where I'm originally from. And in Toledo, Illinois, I stood in our pulpit as just a young man, and I said, I'm never leaving Toledo, Illinois, unless it's a warmer climate. And then God took me to Marshall, Illinois, then took me to Moscow, Russia, and then took me to Estonia. In Estonia, we have this saying, we love summer. It's the best 2 days of the year. Last summer that I was there, it did not get warm until the end of July. And at the end of July, I had an illness that we couldn't figure out. God eventually healed me of that. Thank God for that. But in the process of all that, I had to come home. And I was home for a month in August, and that was the summer. I missed summer in Estonia. So again, it's where God has us. We're believing God for great things in both countries, but still my focus is Moscow, Russia. When we came home in June to start deputation, everything was good. Matter of fact, just to give you an idea how things were when we first got involved 15 years ago, going on our 16th year, but when we first got involved, my wife is a school teacher. She was invited to go into a school, teach all day in the English class, the Christmas story, tell about the birth of Christ. And so very much open. We could do anything. We could evangelize on the streets. We could have street meetings. We could have home groups. We could have rent a conference hall. We could do all that. Very much even to the sense that probably we had more religious freedom in Moscow than you had here because you can't go into your school. So that was 15 years ago. We came home in June, and the Orthodox Church does not want any other religion in Russia. They preach all the time and talk to their people all the time that anything that is not Russian Orthodox is a cult, it's a sect. So to be afraid, stay away, something bad will happen to you. Witness to a young lady, she wanted to come and hear me speak. She wanted to come and see what we do at our church, but she was so afraid that if she came, something would happen to her. So that's what we deal with on a daily basis because they're always on the radio and television that they have. But they were able to promote it through Mr. Putin and sandwich it into a terrorist bill. And so now it's illegal for us to evangelize. If we go out on the street and witness to somebody and they don't like it, they turn us in at $750. So if you've got an extra $750, put it in an envelope, mark Moses, gets out of jail free, and hand it to your pastor. But that's what we're facing, but we still have to evangelize. Pastor Alex Say is a great man of God, and he is our pastor there in Moscow, and he holds things together while we're gone and does a great job. He dresses up at the winter on January 1st is their Christmas. And so he dresses up as Father Frost, and they pay him to come into the families, pay him to come in and sing songs with the kids and play games and give out gifts. That's when we do Christmas. And so he does that. So they pay him to do that. When he's in there, he takes our religious Christmas songs, he changes those into Russian, he plays that to the family, and then he asks them how the first Christmas came about, and he begins to witness and minister to that family. So yes, we're still evangelizing, and they're paying us to do it. But we're going to keep doing that because the Word of God says we must. All right, we have to evangelize. And so we have to do that. And so we're going to do that. And God's going to work it out. Daniel stayed faithful. And Daniel, when it was easy, he stayed faithful. And when it got difficult, he stayed faithful. Amen. He was consistent in his walk with God. And when tough times came, he stayed consistent with his walk with God. And God honored that. Yes, he went to jail. Yes, he spent a night with the lions in the den. But when it was all settled, that whole thing turned 360. Amen. And they now could only worship the God that Daniel worshiped. And if he's the same God, and he is, then he can do that for us. So we're going to take the opportunity to witness. We're going to be faithful to God in Moscow, and God's going to bless the church there, and God's going to give us revival. In the last 4 years of being in Moscow, God has done something very unique for us. We've had a Spanish-speaking service in Moscow. We've had a service in Tagalog, Filipino service in Moscow. We have South Africans that attend the church there in Moscow. We baptized two Chinese people in Moscow. And so God has given us an international church in the city of Moscow. And so we're thanking God for that because they're far they're foreigners. They're not going to live there forever. Someday they're going to go back to their country, and they're going to take back with them, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. They're going to take back with them this Acts 2:38 plan of salvation. So we're thanking God for all that he's doing and giving us an international church. One pastor came from California, and he said, Brother Moses, I'm going to be vacationing in Russia. I'd never heard that before. And he said, can I get connected with the church in Moscow? We were here on deputation, so he did that, connected with the church there in Moscow, talked with the pastor there. Pastor had him speak Sunday. He went on his vacation to St. Petersburg, Russia. He spoke there, or didn't speak there, but he vacationed there, came back to Moscow, and spoke again then. And we had our Venezuelans there in the service, so he spoke in English, then in Spanish, and then Sister Natasha in Russia. So if you'd have told me 15 years ago that we'd have a Spanish-speaking service in Moscow, I would wonder if you're okay or not. And then again, to have a Filipino service in Moscow. But God is an awesome God, and he's helping us to reach these different people groups and the Russian culture there too, the Russian-speaking people there. So I thank God for your faithfulness. I thank God for all that you're doing, for missions, for your prayers that you're praying for us. And please keep it up, because it does make a difference. Amen. Yes, we need money. Yes, we need finances. That's the elephant in the room. We all know that every missionary needs those things, but we also need your prayers to hold us up before God, that God will help us to reach that country. And so, as your pastor said, our project needs, I can lump sum that all up for you. We need $25,000, and we need to raise that in the next 2 weeks, because we're going to finish up in March the 12th. Maybe it's 3 weeks, but March the 12th, we'll be done traveling. And then in April, they give us a month to get our dentists and doctors and all that done. And then in April, we'll have our outbound orientation, and we'll be flying out back to Estonia and then working right into Moscow. Our pastor's excited about that. I'm excited about that, but we don't want to go back underfunded. And I can break that down for you, but we still need some money in evangelism. We need money for our son's education. But I don't want to bore you with all the details, but the lump sum is $25,000 that we still need. And if you can help out with that, if God moves upon you, then please see your pastor. There's a prayer card on the table back there. It has our needs that we need you to pray for. Please take one of those, if you will. I'll be talking about this book when I'm ministering. It's called The Great Soviet Awakening. It's a book back there. I did not write the book, but it's about a revival that took place in the 70s that started in Estonia and went across the 11 time zones that is Russia today, the Soviet Union back then. So please take time to get a prayer card. We have some chocolate back there. It's Alyonka. That's her on the front of it. When my son was 5 and we went back to Moscow, he'd gotten where he liked Hershey's chocolate here. So we had to find a replacement for Hershey's chocolate when we got to Moscow, because you got to keep the baby happy, right? And so we found Alyonka, and it's a famous chocolate factory there in Moscow, Russia, called Red October, not the submarine, the chocolate factory. And so if you're interested in buying some chocolate, it's back there for you to enjoy. It's milk chocolate back there. One pastor, I was in Michigan, and Brother Lehman, and I set up my two chocolate stations there, and I told the usher, I said, I'm going in, it's your responsibility. I came back after service, and one chocolate box of chocolate was wiped out. And Brother Lehman said, this guy goes to Russia and risks his life, and he comes here and we rip him off of his chocolate. But there is chocolate back there for you to enjoy. Thank you, Brother Grant, for allowing me to speak about this. And if God moves upon you, help us out, I've asked in Jesus' name.
We can have our ushers come at this time. And Brother Moses will be preaching here in a few moments. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to have one of our heroes in our faith, Lord, to come and preach to us this morning. We ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon Brother, Sister Moses and their family, Lord, as they travel back to the country of Russia. Lord, who would have thought that just but a decade or so ago, Lord, that we would be able to take and be able to cross into Russia, Lord, the way that we're able to, Lord. And we want to take the opportunity while we have it. Lord, we want to be able to take and give this morning, give sacrificially, Lord, to their cause, to their various projects for evangelism and the computers, the printers, the education, Lord, for their son and the office equipment that they need. to further the gospel, Lord, into this country. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you continue to bless them and move upon them, Lord God, and open up doors of opportunity, Lord, that they have not yet experienced. We do this in the name of Jesus. Everyone says amen. If you would like to take and give towards their education for their son, this is a major expense for them. We send our kids off to school here, and whether you know it or not, we're paying for that. It comes in a form of a tax bill. Those of you that are homeowners, where we live, 75% of my property taxes goes to school education, so we pay quite a bit. And it's the same when these children of our missionaries travel overseas. They're not always able to go to public schools and such because of restrictive measures. Also, they need office equipment. They have seminars, just as we have our midwinter camps and things like that. They have seminars that they have that the folks from all over Russia come together. They also need computer and printer equipment, funds for evangelism, and then funds to register their churches there in the country of Russia. So it is an honor to have Brother Moses here, and as our offering is finishing up here, we're going to have him come back, and he's going to take and preach to us this morning from the word of the Lord. Brother Moses, it's so great to have you here again. God bless you as you minister to us this morning.
Praise God. God is good. Amen. Would you raise your hands and love him with me tonight, or this morning? Father, hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. I thank you for anything that you would have given to this offering. And may God bless you. Praise God. The missions community, when missionaries get together at School of Missions, we take up a faith promise there. And we were for many years the missions community, other missionaries. We were the number one giving to missions. So we don't only receive from that, but we also believe in that. And I myself am privileged to, and my wife and I, we support one home missionary, and we support about three or four foreign missionaries. But we just thank God for the privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. I made up my mind when I was 14 years of age, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, that I was in this thing for the long haul. Amen. And that's what I think we've got to make up our mind today. This is not just a fad. This is not just something I'm going through, going to do until I get out of trouble. But this is a lifestyle. Amen. This is what I'm going to do until the Lord comes back. And that has been a big help for me, to have that made up mind that I'm going to do this until the Lord comes. And he has been so good. Amen. If you'd have told me when I was 14, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost in Toledo, Illinois, population 1,100, that someday I would stand on the streets of Moscow and preach this gospel, I don't know if I could have grasped that. I don't know if I could have believed that. But God has been so good to us and so faithful. My wife is from Southern Illinois, from a town called McClure, Illinois, population 200. So when she married me and moved to Toledo, Illinois, we thought we were in the big city then. But then God took us to Moscow. And at the time, before all the sanctions and people moving out, they guesstimated the population somewhere around 30 million people. And that's where God has called us. And he is big enough to help us reach that city. Amen. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. But he is big enough. Amen. And he is able. Praise God. When I mentioned it earlier, we moved into the country of Estonia. And Pastor Nate Turner, missionary Nate Turner, there in the country of Estonia, doing a great job. Matter of fact, his oldest son, which is about second or third grade, maybe fourth grade, just received the gift of the Holy Ghost on Friday. I think it was Friday or Thursday, Estonia's Independent Day, which is kind of neat that he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But Nate Turner took me and my wife, and he took us to the top of the city of Estonia, the old town. And we looked over the city of Estonia there, or the city of Tallinn there, and it's just beautiful. And I teased Brother Nate Turner. I said, you don't have to have a burden to live here, because it looks just like a postcard. And you could see the Bay of Finland over this side, and you could look at the city over here. And he pointed out to me, he said, you see that church over there, and that's the church that is on the front of this book. He said, during Soviet days, he said, that church experienced a great revival. And he said, if you're interested, he said, I've got a book. And so I, of course, borrowed that book and then liked it. And so I make sure every pastor gets a copy of this book. And if you're interested, again, it's back on the table. But let me give you an idea. And thank you very much. But I'm done. Or you can be done, I should say. I'm not done. But just to give you an idea of what it's like in communist times, for those of you that are young, if you're my age, I'm 55, if you're my age, you lived under communist times in Russia or Estonia or Lithuania, Latvia, all those countries. And so what would you, if you had a three-bedroom apartment, that meant, or three-room apartment, excuse me, that meant it was three families that lived there. And so if you're a family of five, you have one room. If you're a family of seven, you have one room. If you're a family of two, you have one room. And so that's the communal apartment. And so my first Russian teacher, she said her uncle lived in that type of a situation. And she said he had a two-way radio, and that was against the law. And so his neighbor, not down the street, but his neighbor on the other side of the wall, decided to turn him in. And so they came and they took him, and they never saw him again. The family never saw him again. And so then that neighbor would then get to live in those two rooms. So not only did you have the heavy hand of the KGB, or as we call it, the KGB, you have that watching your every move. But then you also have your neighbors watching your every move, because if they can turn you in, then maybe they can get something from you. So you can imagine what 70 years of that kind of mentality and that kind of oppression and that heavy spirit. It's not Russian. It's communism. It's not Russian people. I mean, I don't want you to hate on them or think they're any different than you. They were just as much in bondage to that as everybody else. They had no choice either. And so they're watching your every move like that. And so you have that oppression. So this church that is in the book that I'm talking about, it's still there today. It's still functioning there today. But it's set in what Old Town would be right about here. And then there was a road that ran across this way in apartments here. And then just 50 yards away, another building would start here and a road down this way. So when communism came to Estonia, now we had the privilege on one of our terms of being in Russia that we had moved from Moscow to Krasnodar, Russia, which was 20 miles south of Moscow. 20 hours south of Moscow. We moved there for language study. And it said it took several years before communism came there. It didn't just blanket the country all in one night. It took several years to reach down in there. And when it arrived there, it took away their cattle. It took away their houses. It took away, and they were all put into a communal situation. But what they would do is they would also take away all the churches. So here in Madison, they would take all the churches away, and then they would assign a pastor, or if that pastor was compliant with the communists, then they would have let him stay there. So they would this would be the communal church. And most likely, Brother Grant wouldn't be your pastor. They might have to assign somebody if he wouldn't be willing to submit his sermons so they could review them. And so that's what they did. They came into Estonia. They took away all the churches, and they made this church the communal church. They called it a Baptist church, but it wasn't. It was, I don't know what the name of it was now, but it wasn't a Baptist church, but that's what they called it. So it didn't matter if you were Baptist, Pentecostal, Methodist, Catholic, you went to this church. So when they came in and did that, their first service in this church was, they had 3,000. Show up for that one service that day. But what was unique about it, Pastor, is there was a group of people that said, I want to fall in love with Jesus. See, you can come to church today and you can love your church, you can love your pastor, and you should, but there ought to be something deeper there. Praise God. The songwriter said it this, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. For in his arms, I feel protected. I mean, that's what you were experiencing when we were singing that song, Make Me a House of Prayer. You're feeling the love of God. You're feeling that protection, that goodness of God wrapping us up in that. Amen. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing Robert Moses ever did. Praise God. Because in His arms, I feel protected. In His arms, I'm never disconnected. And so this group of people in this church said, you know what? We're going to fall in love with God. Now, not all of them, of course, jumped on that. Not all of them committed to that. But those that did, they took it serious. So, again, the under communist rule, they wanted to be able to tell the rest of us that it's freedom of religion. So that's why they allowed the one church. But nobody in that church could have a Bible. The pastor could, but nobody else could have a Bible. That would be against the law. And I doubt that he could take that Bible home. I know of one pastor that spent 17 years because he would not conform. He would not turn in his sermons. He would not preach what they wanted him to preach. So for 17 years, for being a pastor, he spent that in jail. And so when they said they were going to make a commitment to God, we're going to fall in love with God, it meant something. And they would watch your every move. This church, this building over here across the street from the church was the KGB headquarters. They had a camera on the KGB headquarters that pointed to the front door of this church. So they watched every move. So again, yes, we have freedom of religion, but yes, we're going to interrogate you. Yes, we're going to try to put fear into you. If your children would go to school and you were a believer, then your children were brought up to the front of the school, a classroom, and made fun of and said, you know, these people are Christians, and make fun of them. We're kind of heading that way now, aren't we, in our good old USA? Amen. But I love the story because that when somebody says, I'm going to fall in love with God, it doesn't matter what kind of godless system is in place. God is going to triumph. God is going to be number one. God is going to win this thing, folks. Amen. It's not just a cliche. Amen. We do win this thing. Praise God. And so they began to fall in love with God. They began to seek God's face. They made the house of God priority. If it was prayer meeting, they were going to be there. Yes, the government was watching them. Yes, they might be interrogated, but they're going to be there. And they're going to be there. And God took notice of that. And the book says that God began to heal their sick. Now, back then, you couldn't advertise just like today. You can't advertise. You can't evangelize. Just like then, you couldn't evangelize now. You can't evangelize back then in the 70s. But if this screen up here is Russia, Estonia is way up there in the corner about the size of your fist. So in Moscow, 30 million, maybe 5-10 years ago, probably still close to 15-20 million. And Estonia is only about 1 million people, and the city of Tallinn is about 100,000. And again, there was not everybody in the church of 3,000 doing this. There was just a small group in there. So why am I sharing that? Because I believe that we can still have a worldwide revival. And it doesn't matter our location. Praise God. It doesn't matter our talents. It doesn't matter what the government says we can or cannot do. Amen. When we decide within our hearts and within our minds and within our spirit, I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm going to love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might. Amen. I'm going to serve Him. Praise God, because He has done so much for me. If you believe that, would you raise your hands with me? Would you love Him a little bit right now? Father, hallelujah. We thank You for Your goodness to us, Your mercy, Your long-suffering, oh God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So the book says that people began. Now again, if Russia is this screen here, you have 11 different time zones. You can take the United States of America and you can put it in there at least two times. And so this little country up here, this little city up here, this little church up here is saying, I'm going to fall in love with God. And they begin to do that, and word got out without the internet because it wasn't invented yet, without cell phones because they weren't invented yet, without advertising because it was against the law. The word of mouth got out, and God began to use dreams. And before we get too quiet, He used dreams in this book too. Amen. He talked to people, and He sent them to where the truth was being preached, and he did great things. And so in this book, He did the same thing. When a small group of people began to pray and ask God and love on God and ask God to be number one in their life, and they committed to God and they loved Him with all of their heart, He began to move across the entire country of Russia, began to move across then known as the Soviet Union. He began to move across that entire country and began to draw people to that city of Tallinn. The book says that on Friday night, the train station was wall-to-wall people sleeping on the floor. There was no hotel for them to go to. There was no family in that city. God had talked to them. God had spoken to them. Somebody had said, I got my miracle at this church. I received the Holy Ghost at this church. And they began to make their way across communist Russia into the country of Estonia, into the city of Tallinn. And God healed them. God touched them. God filled them. Because somebody said, I'm going to love God. I'm going to love God. Praise God. He's going to be priority. Doesn't matter if family's coming in. It doesn't matter if I'm not feeling the best. I'm going to be in the house of God if it's at all possible. I'm going to be in the prayer room. I'm going to be there on prayer night. I'm going to be there on special services. I'm going to love God. Praise God. And they turned their world upside down under heavy communist rule. When communism fell, the church again sat here, the road here, the KGB headquarters sat here. When communism fell, they went inside that building and they went into one of the interrogation rooms. And in that one of those interrogation rooms, the floor would drop out and there was a human meat grinder there. And so they would interrogate that individual. They didn't like their answers. They were dropped into that grinder. They were ground up, flushed into the sewer system and never saw again. But yet, 50 yards away, God is pouring out His Spirit. Amen. I don't know why God didn't just stop that immediately, but I'm not going to focus on that. What I'm going to focus on, when I raise my hands, when I love God, amen, it doesn't stop. Amen. The evil can't stop it. Amen. The devil can't stop it. A godless system can't stop it. Praise God. When I fall in love with God, amen, it changes me. When I fall in love with God, it changes my family. When I fall in love with God, it changes my city. When I fall in love with God, it changes my state. When I fall in love with God, it changes my world. Praise God. Don't tell me that doesn't happen, because it happened in this book. It happened in this book. It happened at Azusa Street. Praise God. And God doesn't need technology. Thank God for it. Let's use it to its goodness. But God doesn't need those things. What He needs is us to fall in love with Him. Praise God. For us to fall in love with Him. Amen. To fall into those arms of protection. To fall into those arms where we are connected with God. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Praise God. Would you raise your hands with me again? Would you love God? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Yes, we took up an offering. Yes, we need money for evangelism. Yes, it's going to happen. Amen. In a godless system, an anti-Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it, an anti-God system, cannot stop what God wants to do in my city. Cannot stop what God wants to do in your city. Praise God, praise God. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 through 35. Is the story of the disciples. We're going to focus on Peter, but it's a story that most of us know. And for those of you that are concerned, I'm not just starting to preach. I'm kind of wrapping it up. I'll give you some hope, all right? We can beat the Baptist to bonanza. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 through 35, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Who's speaking here? The Lord Himself. Amen. God manifested in the flesh. Who's He speaking to? Humanity. Peter, the disciples. And Peter says to him, "Nope, you're wrong." Peter answers and said to him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee," verse 33, "yet will I not be offended." Jesus says unto him, "Verily I say unto thee," listen up, Peter, "this night, Not a week, not 5 days, 15 days, 30 days, not a year. But this night, he said, you're going to, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. And Peter says, nope, you're wrong. Peter says unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise, all the other disciples, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to go, we're going to stay with you. But you know the Lord is right on this, and he always is. And he knew, he was trying to tell them this would happen. Peter is denying it. Peter is saying, no, you know, the whatever, the manlyhood, the camaraderie, you know, we're gonna be with you, Lord. We're going to fight to the end with you. We're gonna die with you. We're going to do this thing together. I want that to sink in, because how many times have we said the same thing after a good service? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to open up my Bible. I'm going to get into the Word of God. And within hours, we're failing God. So then when you pick up the story in John chapter 21, now it's not just God manifested in the flesh, but it's taken to the next level, so to speak. I mean, it's God risen from the dead. Amen. And he has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he has told the ladies at the cemetery, Martha and Mary, he says, you go tell my disciples what you've seen. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Because when we fail God, and some of us will, and some of us will do it in a big way. We're not going to mess around. We're not going to just teeter. We're just going to mess up big time. We're not planning on it. Because in our hearts, in our minds, we're going to do this thing. But we do. We fail God. I want you to understand, it's okay to come back to the house of God. It's okay to put yourself at the feet of a Savior. Amen. It's okay to make your way. It doesn't matter what people say. Amen. The Lord loves us. The Lord wants our best for us. Praise God. So in John chapter 21, if you can imagine failing the Lord of glory, I mean, you know, we've done it. All right? We all have done it. For those of you that think you haven't, well, tuck your Superman cape under the pew so we don't trip on it. But the rest of us, we've failed God, even with the Holy Ghost. We're not proud of it. We're not here to talk about it, but it's happened. And Peter failed the Lord. And yet he makes his way back. And I don't know if you can imagine, but now you're sitting there and there are others are there, but the Lord hones in on you. The guy that said, we're going to fight to the death. The guy that says, I'm not going to do that. But the guy that failed the Lord, denied the Lord three times. The word of the Lord, the way I read it, and maybe Pastor can correct me, but it sounds to me like he used some foul language to cover up his identity. After that girl kept pressing, you're one of them, you're one of them. No, I'm not one of them. And used whatever to try to prove the point. And the Bible lets us know that as the Lord is being led off for yet more beatings and more questions, that the Lord and Peter, as he's at that campfire, they make contact. So you got all that going on in Peter's mind. And now the Lord has him at that campfire. And he looks at Peter and he says unto him, do you love me? Now you've had your hand in the cookie jar and got caught. You've done your speeding and now the police officer standing there at the side of your car and your hat. So we understand what it's like to be caught. And big time. And so here's this man, and the Lord says unto him, after they die, and Jesus says to Simon Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He says unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. The Lord is not saying, please understand this. The Lord is not saying, you know what, Peter? Remember what I said at that other campfire? You know what I told you he's going to do? Guess what? You did it. You know what you said at that campfire? I heard that. I saw that. No. We don't see that in the Lord. Amen. He's trying to find out something here, and we'll see it here in a little bit. He's trying to find out something for Peter because he's got a work for him to do. Amen. He's not worried. He's not concerned about the past. We can get that under the blood. We can get that forgiven. But I've got a work for you to do. I've got a world that you need to reach. I've got sheep and lamb that need to hear about the goodness of God in your life. Praise God. And maybe we can take this thing and we can turn this around and use it for God's glory. Praise God. Would you stand with me? In verse 17, he says unto him, the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Three times, he says to him, do you love me? What we don't see in the English language, what we're missing in the English language is that Peter is being asked by the Lord, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? You that cussed at the fireside, you that was on the internet last night looking at pornography, you that have failed, do you love me unconditionally? And what Peter is answering back, he's not that cocky guy he was at the campfire. He's not that guy full of let's do it, let's take him down. He's a broken man now. And he's getting honest with the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants today. He wants to know, where are we at, Calvary Gospel? Where are we at, Jim, John, Sue, whoever? Where are we at in our relationship? Because Peter says back to him, I filio you. I admire you. I like you from a distance. But I'm not going to be that arrogant young man and say, yes, I agape you. But I do want you to know that at this point in my life, at least I feel like I can feel you. And so the Lord comes back that third time and says, all right, Peter, do you feel you? Can we agree? And they agree. And a fresh new start. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing that Robert Moses ever did. Praise God. Praise God. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing. Hear me, young man. Amen. Hear me, young lady. Hear me, elder. Praise God. Falling in love with Jesus is not a one-time experience. It's daily. It happens on a daily basis. Praise God. And the next time we read about Peter, he is standing up with the 11. Because a love relationship is taking place. Something, a moment of honesty is taking place. And they're building upon that. And praise God, Peter is now filled, amen, with the Spirit of the Lord. Filled with the love of God. And stands up with the 11 and says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And hear me, church, 3,000. 3,000 were added unto the church. Praise God, because of a love relationship. Praise God. World upside down. When they did it in this book, they turned their world upside down. Praise God. And the Lord is looking for somebody today that will fall in love with Him on a daily basis. That will fall in love with Him today. Amen. Hey, we're not perfect. None of us are. We all need Jesus. Praise God. If the altar team would come, the altar working team would come, I want us to come. Amen. As a church, it doesn't matter. Praise God. You say, well, I don't know, Brother Moses. I don't know that I want to be a part of this church. I don't know if I want to be a member. It doesn't, that's not what this is about. This is about you and the Lord. You say, well, I don't know if I love the Lord. That's okay. You like Him? Let's start there. So I don't understand what's going on in this place. I don't understand the clapping of the hands, the raising of the hands. That's all right. Amen. It's about falling in love with Jesus. It's about relationship with the King of Kings. Praise God. It's about raising our hands or lifting our hands a little bit or lifting our voice. I love you, Jesus. I like you. I like what I feel here, God. I don't understand it. Open up my understanding today. Praise God. Would you come and join us around this altar? Let's just love on the Lord. Let's just like on the Lord. Amen. Let's just have a good relationship and an honest moment with God. I'm sorry.
church. Just love him.
You give life. You are love.